We all have different ways of coping with losses in our lives. Coping mechanisms, some of them constructive over the long haul, others not so much, simply attempt to get us through a present moment of pain. They can range from denial to drugs or alcohol. They can range from being with others to just being alone with our grief when we've lost somebody close to us. Jesus apparently chose the latter option. According to the first line of today's gospel, when he heard about the death of his friend John the Baptist, Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But his plans for the day were majorly disrupted, because when he got to his favorite deserted place, it wasn't deserted at all. Word had somehow leaked out, and this vast crowd beat him there. I often wonder how Jesus felt at that moment when his need for solitude was disrupted. I just know how I would have reacted, and it wouldn't have been good. In fact, when I was pastor here, I used to say, maybe even from this ambo before, if you die such that your funeral is on my day off, you will not get a happy send-off. Now, I have to say, to my credit, by the time I got to the actual funeral, the irritation had dissipated because the needs took over. That's apparently what happened to Jesus. Most of us don't particularly care for unexpected demands on our time and energy, or more demands than we bargained for. Such was likely the disciples' reaction when evening drew near. They had had an exhausting day trying to meet all these different needs of this vast crowd in front of them. They wanted to go home. Feeding this crowd was beyond what they could handle. And so they basically said, send them to the nearest McDonald's. After all, we didn't invite them. They invited themselves. You know, it's not, I don't think, that the disciples didn't care, but they knew that the crowd's need for food was critical and way beyond the limit of what they could do anything about. And after all, at times, we all need to honor the limits of our own resources, whether they're personal or financial or whatever. But what Jesus did was push beyond those limits. Somehow, the sight of those distressed folks called him beyond his own needs. He allowed himself to be called forth by the needs of others. Matthew tells us in the gospel he cured their sick. And if you listen to St. Mark's account of this same event, in his gospel he says that Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Moved by their needs, Jesus moves toward them even as they move toward him. That's the way this Jesus operated. And so it's no wonder that he called his disciples to not be stymied by what seemed like a complicated and impossible task to take care of this crowd's physical hunger. He basically said, do what you can with what you got. And he implied that it would be enough. It would be good enough. You know, so often I think when we feel limited by our own resources, we assume that whatever we have to offer has little value. We say to ourselves, my words of consolation at the funeral home always seem so inadequate. My advice is probably not worth giving. But what difference can my letter to leaders make when they have so many competing voices? Or what can I do about racial inequalities in our midst? The needs of the world are so complicated, we often say to ourselves, is it even worth my feeble efforts to reach out? What can I do? Yet I think it's worth noting that the food that was ultimately provided for this vast crowd was not a gourmet box lunch. Salted fish and bread would have been the standard fare for poor people in those days. In other words, their need for food and sustenance was fairly simple, pretty basic. Maybe that reminds us that our simple efforts are worthy after all. One of the side effects of the pandemic is that many of us have gotten more into touch with those simple things of life that we may not pay much attention to or we may not think are of much value. I discovered that grocery stores, in the midst of the shortages, ran out of yeast because more people were baking their own bread. This is a bit of an aside, but I finally found a 1 pound block of yeast at Trader Joe's. You have any idea how many loaves of bread could be made with a pound of yeast? But it was only $3. I couldn't pass it up. If you need any yeast in the next 20 years, let me know. But during my first year of priesthood, I remember complaining to my spiritual director about being frustrated at the seeming passivity of people who came to a late afternoon daily mass that I had from time to time. I said, they're just sitting there. All they want is just somebody to come and say mass for them. They can go home and eat supper. And I will never forget Father Eugene Hensel's next comment. I mean, it's been 38 years, but I still remember it. He said, their needs are pretty simple, aren't they? I said, very simple, too darn simple for me. If their needs are so simple, he said, then why are you having such a hard time meeting them? What happened to Jesus and his disciples is that that crowd's simple human needs called them forth from their own agendas, from their own plans for the day. When we allow that to happen, our initial irritation at what disrupts those plans drifts away. And then we can take whatever is available in our bag of resources and offer it. We are called out of our own plight at that moment. And what we do is enter into simple solidarity with others. And entering into solidarity with others in Christ is precisely what this sharing at this table of the simplest of all meals, bread, become the body of Christ, is all about. I have a friend who was working as a janitor during his college years at St. James Church on Bardstown Road on the evening of the big tornado. Those of you who are old enough may remember that time, April 1974. And Dan looked up and down Bargetown Road after it hit and saw utility poles tossed around like matchsticks, trees and transformers down, buses abandoned, wires dangling everywhere. And then he remembers people started venturing outside on foot. And the restaurant and bar owners, knowing that everything was going to go to waste and spoil because they had no electricity, started serving free beer and food on the sidewalks. A disaster turned into a block party with people commiserating with each other, offering to help each other, just to get them through the moment so that they could eventually pick up again on their disrupted lives. We come here this afternoon to eat simple but very sacred food to strengthen us to continue the journey, no matter what disruptions might come our way.